A doctor, a politician, a little boy, and a priest were all taking a plane ride together from one place to another, chartered plane. And the plane suddenly started to sputter, and then the engines shut down. And in spite of the best efforts of the pilot, the plane started to go down. And the pilot came in, grabbed a parachute, and he yelled at the passengers and said, they had better jump, and then he bailed out. Now, I don't want to say anything bad about the pilot, but he just didn't count the right number of chutes. He thought there were plenty. So the doctor grabbed one of them and said, I have patients that are needing my help or they're going to die. I need to go. And he put on the parachute and jumped out. And the politician said, I'm a politician. Politicians are the smartest people in the world, and the world needs us. So he grabbed a parachute and he jumped. And there was only one parachute left. And the priest looked at the little boy and he said, my son, I've lived a long, full life. You are young. You have your whole life ahead of you. Take the parachute and live in peace. And the little boy handed the parachute back to the priest and said, not to worry, Father. The smartest man in the world just jumped out of this plane with my backpack on. That's good right there. It has nothing to do with what I'm preaching today, but I just liked it. Saw it recently. Made me laugh. Turn to Acts chapter 2 again this week. We were in Acts chapter 2 last week. Same text as last week. We're going to follow up with a follow-up sermon. I promise this week that I am not going to preach an hour. And I really try not to go too long. Sometimes there are things that need to go together, and so the sermon does go a little longer. Last week, there was just a kind of a mess up in my clock system, and in my head, I wasn't paying enough attention to what time it was. And I like to do sermons that are long enough for you to get the information you need, but short enough for you to be able to get the information you need. You know, the mind can only absorb what the seat can endure. That's what I was told a long time ago. And it's not always the seat that's enduring. So Acts chapter 2, go to verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and good, and divided them among all as many as anyone had need. So continuing with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So, did you all see the small groups in this text? The small group ministry? Anybody see it? Small groups. Yeah, it's sitting there. Who sees it? Yeah. House to house. They had to have somewhat of a small group if they were going house to house. Like every house couldn't have everybody in it. How many of you would like all of us to show up at your house, all of this church? Yeah, that'd be a job, wouldn't it? And we're not even a big church, you know. But if everybody from our church showed up at your house for something, that might be a little tricky. By now, we know, based on what we just read, that the church is at least 3,120 people big. Because there were 120 praying in the upper room when all this broke out. And 3,000 souls got saved that day when they came out into the street speaking in tongues and prophesying. And it got really interesting. And all of a sudden, they had a big church. And so people kept coming. I don't think they were just eating in their houses either. What in the world were they doing going from house to house. They weren't just eating. What do you think the early church did from house to house? Well, they were doing other things. That's right. The Bible says they were gathering regularly and doing something more than I think just eating, because how many of you know they probably ate from in their own houses before they went from house to house? That's probably what they were doing. How many think they were doing Bible studies from house to house? Answer would be no. They didn't do Bible studies. They didn't. They didn't have any Bibles to study. And they didn't have scrolls. Somebody said, well, they had scrolls. No, scrolls were hard to come by, and they had big scrolls at certain places, like synagogues. And you could go to the synagogue, and you could study the scripture, but you couldn't study the scripture at home. Now, a lot of them had stuff memorized. So maybe they were having kind of a memory study thing going, where they talked to each other and reminded each other of what the scripture said. I'm sure they were praying with each other. I'm sure they were doing some eating with each other. That's a good thing. Do you think they laughed? No, no, Christians don't laugh. I bet they were having a good time with each other. There's this thing called fellowship that they were doing with each other. Relationship. Verse 47 says something very interesting, because the amazing thing about this going from house to house thing is that they were doing a family-sized version of church, a smaller version of the overall size of the church, and the church grew, it says in verse 47b, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. See, I think sometimes we need to think about how we do what we do. At our last leaders meeting, I talked to the church leaders and I said, you know, if you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it. We, as God's people, should be aiming at some things. And that's not always going to look the same in every generation. I am very thankful that you all are here today. How many of you would have been here today without a car? That's what I thought. As faithful as all of you are, I can't imagine that any of you would have walked to church today. Now, there are churches in town, and we're kind of out on the edge of town, and if you lived right next to a church or within a couple of blocks of a church in town, I'm sure that some people walked to church even on a day like today. But probably not too many. We're Americans. We fire up the car, drive one block, turn it off. It didn't warm up, but we drove it anyway. Of course, that's a good thing, because then you got to go to the restaurant afterwards. So you need the car to be out in the parking lot, so you don't have to walk all the way home before you go to the restaurant afterwards. We have some small groups that meet within this church. We have an intercessory prayer group. It's in the bulletin. Wednesdays at 2. Now we're going to give you two shots on Wednesdays. Nothing wrong with that. For some, it'll be better in the afternoon. There are some people who I understand, they aren't very excited about driving after dark, and that's probably a good thing. So that won't work for them on Wednesday nights as well as it'll work on Wednesday at 2. So that's a good thing. So we have that small group that meets. I know I'm not inviting everybody to it, but I know that Harold, I think, still does a Bible study with a handful of people. Don't you, Harold? Yeah, he does a Bible study. And I, by the way, I didn't mean to make it sound like Bible study is a bad idea. It's a great idea for a small group. Bible study, topical Bible study, through the Bible Bible study, you know, read through a book Bible study. There are all sorts of good things you can do with that. And it's really a great blessing. We got Wise Guys. I already mentioned that a minute ago. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Arby's. What do? We fellowship. We laugh. We talk about old times. And it's kind of fun. Sometimes we talk sports, as if any of us knew anything. We've solved all the problems of the world at the wise guys meeting if they'd just listen to us. Right, guys? We'd have it fixed. Yeah, we would. Firecrackers meets on the first and third Mondays. I don't know if they're solving the problems of the world or not, but I know they're having fun. They get some fellowship. We've got this new game group that's going to be meeting once a month. And, you know, that's going to be kind of fun. And we did the first one in November, and then we didn't in December because there was so much going on in December. So now here we are in January, and we're going to have that first game night. That should be kind of cool. Looking forward to it. There's a group called Blankets of Love. And they do stuff in one of the back rooms back in our educational unit to put together blankets, different kinds of blankets. There's a lot of crocheting going on. I have crocheted. I'll talk about that in a second. There's a Sunday group that meets afterwards on Sunday and eats food in the back. We used to have a young adults group that met at our house, and then everybody got married and things went sideways on that. There's actually been a couple of times when we had young singles groups in this church over the years. And, you know, sometimes they don't stay single, and that kind of changes the dynamic of things. That crocheting group, Lisa and I still have proof that we can crochet. At least, we can't now. Can't remember a thing about it. But there's a great big crocheted blanket up in our closet that I crocheted for my son. And when he moved back from Virginia, it came back to our house, but it hasn't made it to Auburn yet. I don't know what that's all about, but great big crocheted blanket. And Lisa crocheted one for Sonia. We used to sit in front of our TV and crochet, and we learned how to crochet in a small group that was like we did that for like 8 weeks or something. We decided we'd have a small group for a short-term small group. What else do we have? Can you think of another small group? I'm going to mention some, but sometimes we don't think of them as small groups. It was a very small group today. Children's church. If you will, that's a small group thing. It gives the kids a chance to learn, but it also gives the kids a chance to connect to each other. That's important. We need those kids connecting to each other, having, you know, that relational connection. We have youth that meet on Sunday nights. And it's, you know, most youth groups are small groups. Now, some youth groups will balloon up into, you know, I heard about a youth group that was running 1,000 in a church in Louisiana one time. And of course, the church that they were in was running 5,000. And they had a lot of kids. And then they split their youth into small groups. Imagine that. Kind of makes sense. That kind of stuff happens. Sunday school for years, churches all had to have Sunday school before they had church. How many remember when that was in the scripture? You had to have Sunday school from 9 to 10, and then 10 to what? Yeah, but what did Sunday school do? It took the overall congregation and it broke it down into little pieces. By the way, back when I was a kid, you went to Sunday school and then every person was in church. You didn't leave church for children's church. Just the way it was. Joyce, by the way, has a small group. 3 or 4 people who are crazy enough to go out with her on a fearless fun lover's trip to go do something crazy and fun. You know, we really, it'd be good if we get more people to go on that.
It'd be nice to get a guy. I mean, all the guys are...
I know. Us guys weenie out every time.
Weenie out.
That's true. Well, it is harder for the guys to escape their work sometimes, but it would be kind of cool if we could get some guys to go. I like roller coasters. I just haven't been able to make any of the dates work. But I do like roller coasters and other crazy things. So, do you think it would be good if we had more small groups? Wouldn't hurt. I think it'd be good. I think we could have a few small groups If everybody's not in a small group, wouldn't it be cool if everybody had something they felt like they, you know, could connect to? Now, how do you suppose they started these small groups in Jerusalem? They had 3,120 people, and I suppose, you know, they came in and they said, okay, how many of you are willing to open your home to a handful of people? We need at least 30 homes with 10 people, which their homes were smaller than ours. So you suppose they like got 30 volunteers and then they just went through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. All the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All the 9s go with Billy and all the 8s go with Jehoshaphat. I don't think they probably did that.
Everybody knows the pastor organizes everything.
The pastor organizes everything? Is that right? Maybe they got a sign-up sheet. And it never made it past the first half of the room. Yeah, they got a sign-up sheet. They passed it around in their morning service. And it was probably also posted on the bulletin board there in Jerusalem and in the Jerusalem Lifeline, the bulletin. Yeah, they didn't do that. It's because they didn't have a nice copy machine. Otherwise, they would have done it. Yeah. I'm not saying we shouldn't do those kind of things, by the way. We really do. And I don't mind organizing things sometimes. It's just sometimes I have a vision for something. And, you know, Jeremiah mentioned it in the leadership meeting the other night. Yeah, passion. Pastor has a passion for us to do something. So what gets done? Nothing. Because somebody else needs to have a passion for it, too. If nobody else but me has a passion for it, I'm probably barking up the wrong tree. I just don't think the early church made a big effort to kind of be too worried about exactly who went where, what. You know, I just think people just started inviting people and they started connecting to each other. How many think that maybe some people got left out? Yeah, that happens. I'll bet you in the early church there were people who got left out. In fact, a little later it talks about them organizing a little bit with things they called deacons so that they could make sure that some of the widows who weren't getting any distribution of some of the food and had need, so they organized themselves to make sure that the certain widows who weren't getting taken care of did get taken care of. There's a great place for organization. You do need people who aren't distracted. Squirrel. Sometimes to organize those things. Yeah. But I think people just started inviting people to hang out. I just think they started trying to connect. Maybe they weren't intentional, but I think there must have been some level of intentionality for it. And I think it'd be good for us if we were a little more intentional about those kind of things. Because small groups are a place for people to connect. They're a place where relational opportunities are there for everyone. And probably some people who maybe wouldn't necessarily come into the crowd, but they might come into the group. And I think they can be formed for lots of different things. I think we could make small groups that would be for hobbies. You know, hobbies like rooting for football teams that don't win. Just picking on it. Yeah, Cleveland. Well, maybe next year, right? Yeah. Or, you know, just for fun. I think the Fearless Fun Lovers is a cool idea. It's a good thing. Lori Byrne is the name of a gal that has been in Reading for a lot of years. Her and her husband do a lot of marital stuff. They've got a lot of cool ministries that they've been involved in, and she did finally pare down and focus herself. But when she first got out to Reading, she was like this machine. They were counting one day, and I think the number was something close to 30 small groups had been started by Lori. Now, I know she must have found some people with a passion and helped them get that going. So I think maybe, I wouldn't say it's wrong to try to train people on how to start a small group. And I could give you some ideas and maybe help you if you wanted to start a small group. Maybe we ought to have a course, you know, that we go through, how to start small groups. But sometimes that becomes really mechanical, and I just don't see that happening in the early church. I don't see the disciples or the apostles are standing up front and go, Thursday we're going to be doing a seminar on how to start a small group. We need all of you to come and learn how to start small groups. It's an eight session thing where you learn how to start a small group and how to make it work. Well, what you do in that session might not apply to everything else that everybody else wants to do. So, you know, I'm not saying it's a bad thing to have some ideas, but Mom and Dad were part of a small group for 50 years. I've mentioned this before. Two Allens, two Fasts, two Flowers, two Georges, and two Hackers, and 11 kids.
That's a big group.
Well, that's 21 people. That's a big small group, but it's not that big. We all fit into the Georges' house, which wasn't that big a house. I remember we would go out. The Georges lived in this little, like, the hospital was across the street, and the street was here, and then it dropped down, and then there were houses back in the neighborhood, and the Georges had this neat hill in front of their house. It was probably only 12 foot, maybe, if at the most. And we would stand out on that hill and wait till cars were coming, and then we would pretend that we played a game we called Car Light. And it would always be, you know, in the evening and the dew was on, the cars are coming by, and we'd dive off the top of that hill, slide down that hill in the grass, and then go up and do it again. I'm trying to figure out how it is. I can't remember Mom ever saying to me, I'm going to kill you because of all those grass stains. But I'm sure there had to be some. I don't know how that works. Mom and Dad's group ran for about 50 years. About 50 years as a small group together. They aren't meeting anymore because Mom and Dad live up here, and some of the members are gone now, one at least that I know of, and I know of one that's in another place. She had to go to a place to take care of her because of kind of an Alzheimer's thing. And, you know, yeah, no small group lasts forever, does it? Some of them are still meeting, just without you. How can they do that? It was the Hacker small group. Bob and Kay and Ted and Sue, and the Flowers still get together? Yeah. Just a few of them. They're still trying. Their kids don't show up anymore. If you haven't gotten connected to a small group, maybe you can start one. Small means small, so some small groups are kind of at the size where they're functionally working. Although, you know, it'd be great if some of our small groups would grow and then we'd have to break them into two small groups. You know, that's a whole church movement in the world today. Francis Chan had a church of 5,000 that he walked away from because he thinks it's better to have small groups. So they plant churches. A church is 10 people. And every time they plant a church, those 10 people see if they can make it grow. And when it gets to 20, they try to plant another church and send 10 off into another church. And I don't know who gets to stay and who has to go. That'd be hard for me. Like, okay, we're up to 20. You 10 people, get out of here. I don't know how it works. He didn't explain that. It is a good place, though, to invite people who maybe wouldn't, like I said, come to church otherwise. What if we could get some inspiration even this morning? I don't know. This message would have maybe worked better if everybody was here. Can you think of a small group that would be fun to do? Anybody got any ideas? I got a couple, so we won't go silent for very long. But I'm just going to give you a chance. Small group. What's that? You guys used to do fire pits. All right, right out back next week, right? Middle of winter. No. Fire pits is a good idea. Fire pits. Did I see another hand somewhere? Yeah.
After talking yesterday with some of the guys, I'd like to see some of us that are firearms enthusiasts get together and hang out.
Firearms enthusiast group. There are several people. And by the way, we have, someone made a donation to us, and we still have $100 that we can give in, and I think we want to give them in two scholarships. So we are ready to give a scholarship to two people. It probably would pay close to it, not your full amount, if you want to go get your conceal and carry. And you're part of our church. We'll give you $50 toward getting your conceal and carry. I already saw a hand. Saw two. All right, it's taken. You guys see me afterwards. You see, aren't you glad you drove through the snow to get here today? Like, there you go. Yeah, that'd be great. And there are a few that John's gotten with a few people, and they go out and shoot once in a while. So I think that'd be great. That'd be something to do once a month or more often. Yeah. Boat? Oh, yeah. A pontoon boat. Nobody in particular that I can think of has. No, just. You're not singling anybody out named Jeremiah. That's just a great. Okay. Okay. He has to have a passion for it, and I think his passion is for his family on the boat, which is, that's not a bad thing, by the way, though. That's good. Yeah, I know. I just. Small groups give people a place, a sense of belonging that goes even a little deeper than sometimes we can do with a Sunday morning thing like we do. It just does. It helps people connect. Some of you will remember me talking about the Celtic way of evangelism, or some people pronounce it the Celtic way of evangelism. And it was a book that I read years and years ago where it talked about what St. Patrick did to fill Ireland full of the gospel. He had this idea, and it broke into three words, basically, or the way we break it down today. Three words: belong, believe, and behave. And the idea was that people would come to belong to one of the groups that he would set, in a place where two paths crossed on the island where there was a lot of traffic. And they would find a spot, and they would try to create a little place for people to stay there if they happened to be coming down the path. And they would invite them to stay, and they would make sure that they were hungry, that they got something to eat. And they would say, "Do you want to help me? I'm going to go out to hoe the garden," or "Do you want to help with this or one of that?" And people would get there, and they'd start belonging, and pretty soon they'd say, "Hey, why don't you help out with this and help out with that?" And as they belonged, they found that they were with these people who were believers, and these believers were believing, and they would pray, and they would talk to God, and they would sing, and they would worship. And again, back before they had Bibles to carry around, but they would quote scripture that they had memorized, and wow. Pretty soon the people who began to belong, would begin to believe. And then when they began to believe, guess what they did next? They learned to behave. Their behavior changed. What was interesting was what Patrick did was kind of the opposite of the main church at that time, back on in Europe. They wanted people to behave themselves in a certain way. And if you behaved yourself in a certain way, that was evidence that you believed. And then if you behaved yourself and you were a believer, then we'll let you belong. And some of that still is in the feel of the fabric of our nation today. There are some people who they need to belong first, but they feel like they have got to jump through somebody's hoops before they can belong. What if we made people feel like they belong without them having to jump through hoops? Small groups can make that easier. Proverbs 18:24 says that a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. See, there are times when the church family becomes more a family to some people than their own family. And that's, you know, sad, but sometimes people need a family. And for whatever reason, something's happened within their family, their physical family, and we become the family. And that's a good thing. Somebody, somewhere needs you. Somebody desperately needs you. And they need a relationship with you. And the fastest path to being blessed is being a blessing. Maybe you've been around a little while, and some of the small groups that we do have, you just haven't felt connected to, or maybe you tried to get connected and you didn't feel like you were welcomed. I don't know that anybody would do that intentionally. I hope not. But maybe the Spirit's allowed that to happen because you're the one to start a small group. Maybe if you just give a little bit of energy to exercising to make the small group happen, then you would help make it happen. You know, you guys mentioned the gun thing. There would be a lot of people who'd come out to shoot at things that wouldn't come out to soak. But it might be a chance for them to get around people who know God's presence. God might just be trying to position us to reach the unreachable. I have talked with the leadership about a couple of, you know, ideas. I'll share this one with you. Wouldn't it be fun if we invaded a karaoke bar? Like if there was a karaoke bar that every Thursday night had karaoke and we could get like 5 to 10 people who would just go to sing karaoke. I'll bet you those people wouldn't know what to do with us. And we'd have to be nice about it. We'd have to buy something. I'm not going to encourage you to, you know, get a fifth of Jack Daniels and see how quick you can down it. That's a bad idea.
First shot's okay.
Yeah. Not for me, because it hurts my throat. He says, the shots are... That's what they always say. How was that? Smooth.
Clear your sinuses.
Yeah, clear your sinuses. That's what I hear. But, you know, we could go in and have a Coke, and maybe if they have sandwiches, you eat sandwich. Hey, what you got on your sandwich menu? We could eat sandwiches and laugh and run into people, and after a while, it's like... I think I've told you this before. One of the young men that was going to school at Bethel, he turned 21. The first thing he did when he turned 21, second year student, was he went down and went into a bar. He looked around. He saw a guy with a cast on his leg and said, "Can I pray for you?" And the guy was like, "That's weird, but okay." He prays for the guy, and the guy's leg gets instantly healed. And the guy goes, that's crazy, man. Let me buy you a drink. He goes, "Oh, I don't drink." "You don't drink?" "No." "What are you doing here?" "I came here for you. I'm here for you. That's why I'm here. I'm here for you." You might be the one who helps others belong. You might be the one who leads a group. You might just be the one who helps make the group happen by being part of it. But I recognize the opportunity, and I just want to encourage us. Each of us can be the one who makes a difference. Amen.